Hare Krishna. So today's class, we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji to enlighten us on Nectarian Mellows of Gopi Gita. Mataji, you can take over.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Mataji. Very grateful to you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Avhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Ankhraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopis' Songs of Separation. Reading from Text 17.
Rahasi Samvedam Rechayodayam Prahasitananam
Translation. Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret, feel the rise of lust in our hearts, and remember your smiling face, your loving glances, and your broad chest, which is the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus we experience the most severe hankering for you. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramadarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangurlangayati Kirim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurung Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Krishna. So this verse that we are reading is text 17, we are gradually coming to the conclusion of Sri Gopi Gita, the nectarian mellows of Sri Gopi Gita. So here the intensity of the gopis is increasing as we come to the almost towards the conclusion. The gopis are really, in this particular verse, they are reminiscing the transcendental interactions that they have with Krishna. These are very, very confidential interactions that they are recollecting. So I am seeking to repeat what I have heard from the acharyas, from our current acharyas. And this is a very, very esoteric subject matter. So I beg blessings from all of you so that we can hear it in the proper mood and we can try to understand the supremacy and the topmost love that the gopis and Sri Radhe have for Sri Krishna. So with that mood, we will proceed in trying to understand this particular verse. So the gopis are here in this particular verse. They are talking to Krishna and they are saying that, "Hey Krishna, hey Ramana, hey our most beloved, we are remembering the most intimate or the private rahasi." You know, rahasi in Sanskrit has many meanings. Rahasya means a secret. Rahasi also can mean, here it is translated as in private. Whatever things that are done in confidentiality, that is rahasya. It's a thing that cannot be done in public, but things that are done in private. Samvidam, the confidential discussions. Samvidam, samvad, samvadana. Samvad means to have a conversation, basically. And rahasi samvidam means confidential or private conversations. And they are saying, the gopis are saying, richa yodayam. Richa yodayam, which means richaya, which means that their heart is overcome by too much of hankering for Krishna, too much of loving emotions for Krishna. And it is translated here, for a lack of better word, it is translated as lust. But we need to understand that Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful in making us understand this point, that there is nothing called lust in the gopis, nor with Srimati Radharani. We need to understand this very, very carefully, that it is the expression of pure, unmotivated, unadulterated form of love that, you know, the gopis are expressing towards Krishna. And that is what the gopis are saying, that, you know, we are remembering the private conversations that you had with us. And in terms of private conversations that you had with us, the gopis are explaining that when we met you in solitude, you know, in private, in confidentiality, in rahasi, when we met you, the kind of, you know, the secret whispers of love that you gave to us in our ears, the samvada that you had with us, the conversation that you had with us, has given rise to intense desires in our heart. Udayam richaya, richa yodayam, which means that these conversations that you had with us in solitude has given rise to intense desires of love in our heart. And the gopis, actually in this particular verse, I will seek shelter of repeating some of the words that our previous acharyas have given in regards to this particular verse. And they explain that in this particular verse, the gopis are talking about five arrows that Krishna uses when he is in touch with the gopis. So the gopis are talking about, the five arrows that Krishna uses. And Krishna is very expert. He is called Madana Mohana. We know that. that one of Krishna's, you know, unlimited names is Madana Mohana. Madana means Cupid, and Mohana means one who is the enticer of even Cupid himself. That is Krishna. One who can entice even the God of love is Krishna. So Kandarpa, we know, or Madana, who is Kamadeva, he actually, his weapon is bow and arrow. And he shoots arrows of love towards, you know, the victim and inflicts them with loving pangs. So Krishna, he is Madana Mohana, and the gopis are saying and pointing out very confidentially that Krishna specifically uses five different kinds of arrows towards the gopis. And the first arrow is the sweet conversations that Krishna has with the gopis in solitary places. That is the first arrow. Rahasi Samvidam is the first arrow that the gopis are talking about. The second arrow is the desire that is, you know, awakened by the piercing of the first arrow, the desire that comes up in the hearts of the gopis, Richayodayam, the intense desire of love that comes up in the heart of the gopis because of those enticing words of arrow, that is the second arrow. The third arrow is the radiantly ravishing smile that Krishna gives. Prahasitananam. Prahasita, hasita, we all know. Prahasita means the beautiful smile of Krishna. Prahasita means the very, very beautiful, captivating smile of Krishna. So the gopis are referring to this prahasita of Krishna as the most delightful laughter of Krishna to be the third arrow. You know, and our Acharya, he gives a very beautiful example. He says that just like a very beautiful flower, it can smile. You know, when you look at a flower, it can seem that it is smiling, it is giving out very beautiful fragrance, but it does not have the capacity to speak. But Krishna, on the other hand, is such a beautiful flower that Krishna is not only smiling, he is not only having this beautiful fragrance, but he is also captivating the hearts of the gopis by his sweet, loving words. The gopis are saying that by the sweet, charming words, Krishna has this unique way of expressing his love to the gopis. And this is the third arrow that the gopis are talking about, that the most enchanting, beautiful smile, the ravishing smile of Krishna is that third arrow. Then, what do the gopis say? Prema Vikshanam, Prahasitananam, Prema Vikshanam. Vikshanam means the glances. The glances of Krishna is the fourth arrow. So Krishna is saying, the gopis are saying that it's not just Vikshana, it's not just glances that Krishna is giving, but it is Prema Vikshana. It is the glance that is inflicted with love. And that is the fourth arrow that is piercing the heart of the gopis. The vision of Krishna, the glance of Krishna is piercing the heart of the gopis. So that is the fourth arrow that the gopis are talking about. And the fifth arrow, Brihad Urashriyo Vikshadhamate, which means that this Brihadura, which means it is Shriya. Shriya is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi's dham is the expansive chest where, you know, she is residing. The expansive, the Brihat means very big, broad. Ura means the chest of Krishna. So the broad chest of Krishna is the resting place or the dhamma, you know, or the abode of Shriya. Shriya means Lakshmi Devi. So this broad, expansive chest where Goddess Lakshmi has her sacred abode, that is the fifth arrow with which Krishna is piercing. You know, whenever Krishna is actually standing in his Tribhanga Lalita Madan Mohana form, we can see that Krishna, the way he places his hands on the side, on his, you know, he brings the left hand, Krishna brings his left hand all the way towards his right hand. And the right hand is just placed next to the left hand, and therefore his left hand forms a very beautiful V. And, you know, his chest thus comes out even more, you know, beautifully. When we see a V-shaped, you know, object, and if something is resting on a V-shaped object, then we know that that shape is kind of lifted up, that object is kind of lifted up more. So similarly, Krishna, when he brings his left hand over his right shoulder and his right hand next to the left hand to play his flute, to hold his Venu, at that time his chest is pushed up by the V formed with his left hand. And that makes his chest appear more broad and more, you know, captivating. And that is what the gopis are describing, that that beautiful broad chest is the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi Devi is residing in that most attractive and broad, strong chest. And that is piercing us. You see that V form that comes, you know, because of Krishna's elbow and his arm that is formed by his left hand, that forms that like an arrow shape. The arrow shape is formed by that chest, and that pierces the heart of the gopis. You know, that chest of Krishna flows like, you know, an arrow towards the gopis. So that is what the gopis are saying, that just by admiring this chest of yours, we just become completely intoxicated. And therefore they are saying that just by muhu means repeatedly, again and again, we are just remembering all of these five different arrows with which you are attacking us all the time, O Krishna. You are attacking us with these five arrows, and we are just, you know, hankering in our mind. We are hankering for your association, O Krishna. Please, please appear in front of our eyes. So all this beautiful explanation is given in the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava, and very, very beautifully explained by our acharyas, by under the instructions of Sriman Mahaprabhu himself. So we have these very beautiful explanations given, and at the same time we need to also know that these conversations that, you know, the gopis are having amongst each other about the intimate, you know, pastimes that they have with Krishna, that we should very, very carefully know that these are not just mundane relationships. The loving affairs of the gopis and Srimati Radharani and Krishna are completely on the transcendental platform. There's not an iota of anything mundane in them. So we repeat this again and again, so that even for a moment our mind doesn't get distracted from this absolute truth. You know, Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful in the way we understand these esoteric subject matters, to understand these intimate, confidential pastimes of the gopis and Srimati Radharani with Krishna. So here, the gopis are talking about the samvidam, the rahasi samvidam with Krishna. And I wanted to share with all of you the book, from the book Krishnanika Kaumudi. It is written by Srila Kavi Karnapura, translated by His Holiness Srila Bhanuswami. And over there, the Ashtakala Leela of Krishna is described in great detail. Srila Kavi Karnapura describes it in great detail, and you know, His Holiness Srila Bhanu Maharaj and His Holiness Mahanidhi Maharaj have very kindly written this book. And so we have this at our disposal. And I was just reading some of the intimate conversations that Krishna has with the gopis. And this is the time when Srimati Radharani and the gopis have just come to meet with Krishna when being attracted by the transcendental flute of Krishna's, the sound of Krishna's flute, the gopis just come attracted to that music, and they just come and appear in front of Krishna. And when they came and stood in front of Krishna, when Sriji Thakurani, when she came and stood in front of Krishna, when she came, it is explained in this book that the way she was dressed up was all for the pleasure of Krishna. That Srimati Radharani wore a very, very beautiful blue color skirt, which had red and gold flowers embroidered in that entire skirt. And her choli, her top piece, was red in color. And she had a golden, blue, and red color veil covering her hair and covering the upper part of her body. And it was a very, very perfect match, because whenever Sri Krishna sees Srimati Radharani in this particular combination of clothes, it is explained that Krishna goes mad with ecstasy. He loves to see Srimati Radharani in a blue skirt with a red top. He loves to see her in this combination of dress. It's his most favorite one. And therefore, whenever Srimati Radharani comes to meet with Krishna, she does different combinations, different kinds of designs, but with this basic colors, so that it is very, very pleasing to Krishna. And this particular night, when she came to meet with Krishna, she was decked with this particular outfit. She had this very beautiful long skirt, which was blue in color with red and gold, flowers designed on her skirt, a very beautiful red top which had blue and golden flowers etched on the top, embroidered on the top, and a very light veil, which was colored in three. It was golden, red, and blue. And Srimati Radharani was wearing that over her hair, and she was covering her top with that veil. And regarding the jewels on her body, she was decked with shark-shaped earrings, and she had a very beautiful mang tika, the tiara that the ladies wear in the center parting of the hair. And she had a very beautiful crown, which was made with blue orchids, forest flowers, and red champaka flowers. And jasmine flowers, she had it adorned over her hair. But her crown was made with these very special flowers like blue orchid, red champaka, and golden champaka. That was her flower crown that she was wearing. And she had a very beautiful ruby nose ring. And she had a ring that was going around. It was golden in color. And there was a little pearl hanging through the center of her nose, which made her appear extremely beautiful. And her dough-shaped eyes were actually anointed with very nice kajal. She wore the powder of a flower, which made her lips appear reddish like the bimba fruit. And her neck was adorned first with a pearl necklace, and then she had blue sapphire jewelry on her. She had a very beautiful belt made up of blue sapphires and red rubies that was adorning her thin, beautiful waist. She had armlets, bangles, adorning her arms and wrists. She had worn beautiful rings in each and every one of her fingers, and her nails were shining like moon. Each of her nails were one moon, so radiantly shining. And she had very beautiful design done on the palms of her lotus hands with alta. Alta is a red dye that is used for decorating the hand and the lotus feet. So Srimati Radharani had very beautiful painting done on her lotus palms with this red dye called Azalta. And then in her lotus feet, she had a very, very thick, you know, thick ankle bell that she was wearing, which was giving very nice transcendental sound with every step that Srimati Radharani was taking towards Krishna. So Krishna knew that Srimati Radharani is coming. Her ankle bells made a very specific and a special sound that was made for Krishna to know that Sriji is coming. And even her toe rings, she always wears two toe rings, and her toenails were glistening, and she had very beautiful alta decorating her lotus feet also. So this is the beauty of Srimati Radharani, and she was having a lotus flower in one hand, and she was having a garland of Vaijayanti mala that she was carrying for Krishna, that she had personally made for Krishna. So in this way, Radharani was coming to meet with Krishna. And when she was coming to meet with Krishna, Radharani actually felt, she was accompanied by her pranasakhis, Sri Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, Champakalata, Induleka, Ranga Devi, Sudevi, everyone was there with her. And she was running towards Krishna, and she was feeling that the jewels on her body were so heavy that they were impeding her to walk, you know, slowly. They were not allowing her to run because the weight of the jewels were so much. So she said to her pranasakhi that, "Hey Sakhi, can I just remove my belt so I can run a little more faster, so that I can reach Krishna a little more faster?" And the Sakhi said, "Okay, we'll hold it for some time, but as soon as you reach near the proximity of Krishna, we'll put it back on you, because we don't want you to go in front of Krishna in an imperfect way, or losing any of your jewels, because then Krishna would chastise us that we did not decorate you properly." So then Sri Radhe agreed, and then the Sakhis, they took off her belt and made her a little more light, so Sri Radhe could just walk a little more quicker towards Krishna. And she was very beautifully, elegantly walking down, and she finally, when she came in front of Krishna, the gopis, just before she arrived in front of Krishna, they again redecked her up, you know, decorated her again, and then brought her in front of Krishna. And as soon as Srimati Radharani saw Krishna, she immediately just put her eyes down. And when she put her eyes down, she had the garland of Vaijayanti mala. The Vaijayanti mala, we all, at least I was under the impression for a very long time that Vaijayanti is a flower, is one particular flower. But it was explained by His Holiness Srila Radharaman Maharaj that Vaijayanti mala is actually a combination of five different flowers. It's not just one. Vaijayanti mala has a combination of five different flowers. It is made up of five different flowers. And this garland is extremely dear to Krishna, and especially the one that is made by Srimati Radharani. So these five different ingredients that are in the Vaijayanti garland is, the first one is kund, a flower called as kund. Then there's a flower called mandar. Then there's parijat. There is tulasi manjari. And there is kamal, which is lotus. So these five things, five flowers, make up the Vaijayanti mala. I'll repeat it again. It's kund, mandar, parijat, tulasi manjari, and lotus. So kund, mandar, Maharaj explained this kund is kind of like a family of the jasmine, but it's a little more bigger. Mandar is almost like a champaka flower. And parijat, of course, it's these three flowers, we don't see them nowadays. You know, they are kind of, nowadays what is known as parijat is something different than what is actually parijat flower, because these three flowers are no longer present in their physical form. They are you know, they are in the spiritual world. But these are the five different flowers that are present in the Vaijayanti Mala. And Srimati Radharani, she is so stunned and so shy in front of Krishna that she is not even able to garland Krishna, the garland that she made with her own lotus hands. So then two sakhis, they come, they take the garland from her hand and they put it on Krishna. And Krishna very lovingly accepts it. And he tells Srimati Radharani, he addresses her. Now, this one is exact conversation that I will read from this book called Krishna Nika Kaumudi. And Krishna says, "Hey, Pyariji, just look at this deer. Upon awaking, the deer are standing in groups under the trees and creepers, observing the beauty of your graceful movements. Though it is night, the flocks of birds in the trees cannot sleep due to enjoying the sight of your pastimes. Just see how eager the shining creepers are to serve your limbs with their leaves and flowers, just like your maidservants. The steady drone of the maddened bees constantly reverberates through these groves, which are more auspicious than your own home. Look at the beautiful shadows created by the tiny beams of moonlight passing through the tree branches. To purify the splendor of the forest at your arrival, the wind moves here and there through the leaves like a sieve." So like this, in such transcendental words, sweet words, Krishna is glorifying that how the entire forest has actually come together, that although it is night, we know that, you know, the birds actually fall asleep during the night. But Krishna is saying the birds, the deers, everyone is awake because they want to see you moving about so elegantly. Krishna is glorifying the elegance with which Srimati Radharani has come to meet with him. So like this, Krishna is so sweetly talking to the gopis and especially to Srimati Radharani. And so this is what the gopis are remembering, that this is Rahasi Samvidam, that Krishna, these are the kind of confidential talks that you have had with us. In private, when there was nobody around, you had these kind of talks with us. And then what happens is, that at one point when Krishna is with the gopis, and suddenly Krishna notices that his Kaustubha Mani, you know, Krishna's Kaustubha Mani, it got hidden amongst the different necklaces that Krishna was wearing and in the Vaijayanti Mala that Sri Radhe had made for him. And seeing that, you know, Radharani was, it is explained that whenever Srimati Radharani, when she looks at a particular limb of Krishna, she cannot move her eyes to any other limb because she just gets so attracted to that particular limb of Krishna, she just can't move her eyes to any other part of his body. So Radharani, she just happened to glance at the chest of Krishna where the Kaustubha Mani rests, and she noticed that, oh, the Kaustubha Mani is not there. And then she tells Krishna, "Hey Kanha, where is your Kaustubha Mani?" And then Krishna says, "Radhe, you stole it. You stole it." And then Radharani replies, No, I did not steal it. Vishakha took it." And Vishakha says, No, I didn't steal it. Lalita did." And then Lalita says, "I didn't do it. Indulekha stole the gem." And Krishna and the gopis, they just start quarreling over, you know, who took the Kaustubha gem. And then one of the sakhis, she just comes out and says, "Hey, cheater, Krishna, you are only always just self-centered about you itself. You know, you see this Vaijayanti Mala that is there around your neck, which is made by Sri Radhe, that Vaijayanti Mala has hidden your Kaustubha Mani. Look over there." So, like this, and then Krishna looks. He said, yes, you're right, my dear Sakhi, you're right. And then Krishna looks in the Vaijayanti Mala and he finds the Kaustubha Mani. And then Radharani then places the Kaustubha Mani back on Krishna's broad chest. So these conversations are, I'm just, you know, reading it directly from the way it is explained here by Srila Kavi Karnapura, that these are the kind of sweet confidential pastimes and confidential talks that Srimati Radharani, the gopis, and Krishna have had with each other. And the gopis are just constantly remembering this. And they're saying that, Krishna, your prema vikshanam, they're talking about Krishna's, you know, sidelong glance, the loving glance of Sri Krishna, they are talking about. And as soon as they are talking about the loving glance of Krishna, when the gopis say this to Krishna, Krishna is actually telling the gopis back that, my dear gopis, you are talking about me giving sidelong glance to you, but I actually desire the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. I aspire to receive the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. I just wish that one time she at least looks at me eye to eye. She hardly looks at me eye to eye. So I want that she at least, in her sidelong glance, at least she looks at me. I desire that. So here, today morning when I was just reading through this verse, when I read this particular word of prema vikshanam, of the merciful glance of Sri Krishna, the loving glance of Sri Krishna, I was reminded of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha, the famous verses that have been composed by Lord Shiva himself in glorification of Srimati Radharani, and which was later compiled by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So these verses, they actually describe the merciful, the most merciful sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. And I will just read the first three verses, and we'll see that how not only Lord Shiva is saying that not only the greatest of sages, but also the devatas, everybody, they are actually standing in line to receive the merciful sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. So this is Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha, verse 1.
Munindra Vrindavandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vakta Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilasini Vrajendra Bhano Nandini Vrajendra Suno Sangate Kada Karishya Sihanam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
O Goddess, worshipped by the kings of sages, O Goddess who removed the sufferings of the three worlds, O Goddess whose face is a blossoming lotus, O Goddess who enjoys pastimes in the forest, O daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, O companion of Raja's prince, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So beautifully, Lord Shiva is praying to Srimati Radharani, begging to Srimati Radharani that, please cast your merciful glance upon me. And then he goes on to explain,
Ashoka Vrikshalari Vitananda Pasthite Pravalavala Paiva Pradharanangri Komale Varadha Kare Prabhuta Sam Padalaye Kada Karishya Sam ज्ञानम् कृताकटाक्ष भाजनम्.
O goddess staying in a vine cottage by an Ashoka tree, O goddess whose delicate lotus feet are as splendid as red blossoms, O goddess whose hand grants fearlessness, O abode of transcendental opulences, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So here Lord Shiva is glorifying Srimati Radharani that she is the one who actually is abhay pradan karne wali. She is the one who is giving abhaya, vara bhaya sphurat kare. She is giving the benediction of abhaya, means of fearlessness. She is always having her hand raised in a benediction that whether we want it or not, Srimati Radharani is always wanting to grant, always wanting to benedict us with abhaya. Abhaya is what? What is the greatest type of fear? Is that we always, you know, that we never forget Krishna and we always remember him. That is the greatest fear that a devotee has, that Krishna, may I never forget you. That is the greatest fear that a devotee has, is that forgetfulness of Krishna, that may I never be forgetful of Krishna. So Srimati Radharani is the only one who gives us this assurance, this fearlessness. If we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, she will benedict us with this fearlessness, that she will give us varabhaya surat kare, that she is always benedicting us, that we will never be able to forget Krishna and we will always be able to remember Krishna by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, by taking shelter at her lotus feet. And Srimati Radharani's dearest devotee is Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who by taking shelter of his lotus feet and by taking shelter of the lotus feet of our present acharyas, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the glorious disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when we do that, then that is actually seeking shelter of Srimati Radharani. So when we seek shelter at the lotus feet of our spiritual master, when the spiritual master raises his hand and gives us blessing, that is abhaya, that is varabhaya, that how the spiritual master is in that same mood of Srimati Radharani, who will, if we simply take shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master will grant us fearlessness from any of the entrapments of maya. And we will always be ready to serve Krishna, ready to be engaged in the service of Krishna, to be used in the service of Krishna. That is the kind of fearlessness that we get when we seek shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, which is granting abhaya, giving us fearlessness. Lord Shiva continues, Anangaranga Mangala Prasanga Bhangu Radhuvam Savidramam Sasandranam Dhigantadana Patane Nirantaram Vashikrita Nandane Kada Karishya Sihanam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. O goddess, who playfully shooting the arrows of your glances from the curved bows of your auspicious amorous eyebrows, have completely subdued Nanda's son Krishna, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So this is the verse that Krishna is actually telling the gopis. When the gopis are talking to Krishna, that Krishna, you are giving prema vikshanam to us. Your glances is like arrows that is penetrating our heart. Krishna is saying that, my dear gopis, that is okay. You are saying that my vision is like glance, it is like arrow for you. But actually, I have been completely vashikrita. Nirantaram vashikrita. Vashikrita means I have been hypnotized by the arrows of glances from the curved eyebrows of Srimati Radharani. So this is the reply that Krishna is giving, that yes, my dear gopis, you are saying that you have been afflicted by my vision like arrows, you've been afflicted by that, but I have also been afflicted by that same arrow coming from Srimati Radharani. Her sidelong glance is making my heart also so much under her control that I have become vashikrita. I have become completely under her control. There's nothing else in this world that can control me other than Srimati Radharani's sidelong glance. She has completely captivated me with her sidelong glance. So Sri Lord Shiva and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who has later compiled these beautiful prayers, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami explains in this particular verse that we aspire, you know, just in the way that Lord Shiva is aspiring for the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani, we also aspire for the sidelong glance of Sri Radhe. But at the same time, we know that we are far away from the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. But if the Vaishnavas, who are so dear to Srimati Radharani, if the Guru Vargas, who are the representatives of Srimati Radharani, if they can cast their merciful sidelong glance upon us, our lives will be a huge success. So with that mood and that note, we will end here today. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. Very, very nectarian. Mataji, I have a question regarding the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You said the Parijata flowers, what we have nowadays is not the flower they are talking about.
Yes.
So my question is first question is, what are those five types of flowers? And are they from spiritual world, they came for that time, for Krishna? How
yes.
They got appeared or something.
Krishna Chaitanya. Yes. Some of these flowers are heavenly flowers. We know how Parijat came, that Krishna brought it from Indraloka. You know? Parijat was brought by Krishna himself to Dwarka for his queen. And so he brought it from Indraloka. So Parijat is not something that grows here in the mundane world. It's not part of this material world. And so Parijat, which is nowadays, which, you know, I know there are some flowers which are called as Parijat. I don't know how it came to be, but I know some devotees who call a particular flower which has that orange kind of a stem, very small flower. It's very fragrant, but very delicate flower. It has a very small orange stem. And it has white petals, 5 or 6 petals. It's a very delicate flower. That some devotees refer to as Parijat, but that is actually not Parijat. That is, traditionally it's called Shiuli. Shiuli is that name of that flower. And Mandar and Kund. Kund, Radharaman Maharaj explained, this Kund flower is kind of like jasmine, but it has more bigger petals and it is more open. And yes, these flowers, these three flowers, Mandar, Kund, and Parijat, Kund, Mandar, and Parijat, these three flowers are not from this material world. But here in this material world, we just get Tulasi Manjari and Padma, lotus. Only these two flowers are available here, but the rest of the three, that is Kund, Mandar, and Parijat, are from the spiritual world. Does that help in answering your question?
Yes, Mataji. And you said for the Queen Satya Baba, Krishna got the Parijata flower from heavenly planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mataji, how the Radharani and other gopis, they were making garland out of it?
Well, see, that is the difference between Dwarka and Gokul, Vrindavan. When Krishna wanted a Vaijayanti mala, gopis and Srimati Radharani would access it. You know, it is Chintamani Dham. So Dwarka is more like the Vaikuntha planets. And over there, you know, Krishna had to make this pastime of bringing Parijat down. But with the gopis, you know, whenever they desire to give a Vaijayanti mala, Parijat would appear. Kund and Mandar would appear for them, so that they could make this this Vaijayanti mala for Krishna. So, yes, Parijat was brought down in Dwarka by Krishna, but it stayed only in Dwarka. It didn't go anywhere else in the material world. And when the gopis wanted to string a flower, a garland for Krishna, the flowers would appear for Srimati Radharani.
Very, very wonderful, Mataji. I didn't know that, the flowers will appear from other planets to here for gopis to make garland. Really wonderful, amazing.
Yes, this was explained by Srila Radharaman Maharaj, actually. So I'm just quoting what he said, repeating what he said. So that's how the gopis served Krishna. In Vrindavan, everything is possible. It is Chintamani Dham. There are Surabhi cows. You know, Surabhi cows don't exist anywhere else. The cows give pure nectar. You know, it's not just milk that they give, it's just nectar that they give. And that special cows is there only for Krishna. When Krishna would herd, each and every cow would be Surabhi cow, like that.
Hari Hari Vo Shishu Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Surabhi Gai Ki Jai 10th Canto Shishu Gopi Gita Ki Jai Koti Koti Kanthat Pranam to your Siva Mataji Gopinath Ki Jai Ho. As is one well, last request, can you please sing Gopi Gita? Didn't not Pranam
Vanda Gopi Ka Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you. Sure.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes. Thank you very much. Krishna's pastimes are sweet, but coming from you, Mataji, sounds so sweet. I cannot describe. So thank you very much for your seva. I would just like to comment that Indralok is also material sky, it's not spiritual. You can call it celestial, but not spiritual. That's just the way that I wanted to speak.
That is very true. Thank you for pointing that out. And it is said that this Parijat, that's why I said in the beginning that they were either available in the heavenly planets or in the spiritual world. So when Krishna brought it down from Indraloka, it was available in Indraloka only. And therefore Krishna brought it from Indraloka for Satyabhama. So, yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, what a wonderful class. I mean, it is amazing. And this your class also, gives the emphasis that we should be hearing these kind of verses from a learned person, advanced devotee, because the way you have explained the five arrows, if just by reading those verses, we wouldn't get it. So it is so amazing that you explained in that way. So thank you very much, Mataji, for that. And another point I have was, Mataji, the way you explained Srimati Radharani, that was also very amazing. I hope you have a picture in your mind when you explained it. I hope you have the picture. If you could share it on WhatsApp, that would be wonderful, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Well, the only picture I have is that of what I have in my mind based on the descriptions that I have read, in the book. So, unfortunately, I have not put it down in paper. So, whatever I have in my mind after reading the description that I've read from the Acharyas, from Kavikarnapura, is what I've explained. So, I don't have a picture of that.
No, Mataji, but the way you explained was amazing. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yes, very Mataji, we feel that, Leela.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Pranam, all Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Guru and Gauranga. Very wonderful class, Mataji. Mataji, I have a question.
Yes.
You are talking about the mandara. The mandala, what we have in our garden, that mandala, or it's something special kind of mandalas?
As I said, yes, it is a special kind of mandara. Because as I said, there are many flowers that go nowadays in the name of kund also. There are many flowers that go in the name of mandar. There are many flowers that go in the name of parijat, which are, actually locally, colloquially called different names. But these three flowers, mandar, kund, and parijat, are not from this world.
Okay. So this kind, whatever flowers, mandara, we have right now, we can offer to Radha Madan Mohan Mataji? Because I heard with some devotees, we should not offer to Krishna.
So I'm not sure. See, the thing is that any flower, what Srila Rupa Goswami has given, is that any flower that does not have any fragrance cannot be offered to Krishna. And specifically the red hibiscus, which is the shoe flower, or hibiscus, red hibiscus flower, cannot be offered to Krishna. And any flower that does not have any fragrance cannot be offered to Krishna. So anything other than that, other than these two, can be offered to Krishna. And also there's one more flower, which is called the Akunda flower. It's a special flower that is only offered to Lord Shiva. That also cannot be offered to Krishna. It's only offered to Lord Shiva. So these three, other than these three, I'm not sure if I know. I've not come across any other flower that cannot be offered to Krishna, unless it does not have good smell, or any flower that has a good fragrance can be offered, with exception of this red hibiscus and Akunda flower. It's like a little purple kind of flower which is offered especially to Lord Shiva.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Adikshana Mataji, that was very new news to me. So these days we don't get any flowers with fragrance, Mataji. I mean, not much fragrance, whatever we get in commercially.
Very true. Especially here in North America, we don't get any fragrant flowers at all. They look very beautiful. They look very attractive. Even the roses have no smell, actually. It's unfortunate. So therefore, our acharyas have given us a way out of them, but roses can be offered to Krishna. So what we do is, at least we put some fragrant oil on top of the rose, so that at least it is sweet-smelling to Krishna when it is offered to Krishna. So here in North America, at least, we do that way. So we stick to what all flowers can be offered, and we know that there is no fragrance, so we add on some extra fragrance. Essential oils, we can add on them, and then we can offer it to Krishna. That is how we've been instructed.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Chaya. Thank you so much. This is beautiful class, beautiful description of how you describe Radharani, Srimati Radharani. And you feel like, okay, should we try to so kind of address like this for the deities? You know, it's just so beautiful. Thank you so much. And about the explanation of the five arrows, I think I have to listen to this lecture over again with the recording. So I just feel like any sadness you have, you know, in your heart or anything, when you just listen to a pure devotee like you giving this kind of explanations and description, everything just subsides. It just like, you know, we feel so good. Thank you so much.
Well, it's pure devotional intent with which all of you are hearing. It's got nothing to do with my speaking, but it's all got to do with your pure listening and the intensity with which you are listening that it has this effect. Otherwise, I'm just only repeating. I'm just a parrot who knows how to repeat. That's all. So it's all glories to your listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gopikita, please, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Somebody else wants to ask?
No, Hare you Krishna? Can go ahead, Mataji. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just more flower questions.
Yes.
One is, do we know why red hibiscus is not offerable?
Yes, the red hibiscus is actually offered to Goddess Kali. That's a specific flower towards her. So that is why it is not offered to Vishnu Tattva. So the red hibiscus is a flower that is specific for Goddess Kali, just like this Akunda flower is a specific flower that is specifically offered for Lord Shiva. So therefore, these two flowers are, you know, specially meant for them and therefore not offerable to Krishna. But, you know, there are other kind of hibiscus. I know there is an orange color one that comes. There is a pink one that comes, light pink one. I've asked Jananivas Prabhu regarding this, that can these, you know, flowers, which are, you know, different color of the hibiscus, if they can be offered to even, you know, the white hibiscus, actually, the white hibiscus, which is called as Shweta Jaba. If those can be offered, and, you know, Shweta Jaba, the white hibiscus, is actually very, very dear to Krishna. And one of the 5 days of the Bhishma Panchaka, during Kartik, one of the offerable items is this white hibiscus, which we offer on the shoulder of Krishna on the 4th day. So white hibiscus is offerable to Krishna, and so are the orange ones. But the red one is only offerable to Goddess Kali or, you know, the Shakti Tattva, but not to Krishna. So that's the reason.
Okay, thank you. And also, did I hear you properly to say that, you know, here in North America, you know, as you said, we have only non-fragrant flowers mostly. So I don't know, personally, I find them to either lacking totally in fragrance or to, like, not be very pleasant in fragrance. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, did you say that, you know, our acharyas have given us license to offer only the roses if we put the essential oil, or can we put essential oils on other non-fragrant flowers also, and that would be okay? Or is it just the roses?
No, the roses are fine. Even carnations are okay. You know, there are other, these daisies and all of these flowers are usable for Krishna, because actually in India, if you see, I mean, somehow, the flowers that come from India, or even sometimes I've seen in Asian countries, you know, anywhere in the East, flowers have a fragrance, not just India, anywhere in the East, actually, flowers have a fragrance. But even sometimes in European countries, I've seen roses have smell. But there is a particular brand of rose that, you know, you can grow in your own homes in North America also that has fragrance. There's a kind of a pink rose and a, you know, they do have some kind of fragrance. But, and of course we can grow gardenias. So gardenias have very good fragrance here. But, you know, any of these flowers, yes, they are offerable because back home in the East, they always have fragrance. So, yes, you can put some essential oils on top of any of these flowers, as long as it's not in that category, the red hibiscus,
yeah.
You know, that category.
I just thought I heard you say only the non-fragrant roses, but, yeah, I guess I misheard.
Yes. I just took the name of the roses, but any flower is okay.
Yes. Then one last, two last things. This mandar flower that's not available here, I was just wondering about the spelling. Does it have an H in it, M-A-N-D-H-A-R?
No, it's M-A-N-D-A-R, mandar.
Oh, no H.
No.
Okay. Okay, so last thing is, you know, these five arrows, I was trying to write them down from memory. I got confidential talks. I think it's his side long glance, his chest, which is made broader when he brings his left hand over to play the flute, right? The beat. And then there's two more I'm missing.
Okay, first is the Rahasi Samvedam, which is the confidential talk. Then the Richa Yodayam. The second is the desire that confidential talks have made in the heart of the gopis. So that is the second. The desire is the second arrow. The third arrow is the Prahasitan. Prahasitan means the sweet smile of Krishna, the ravishing smile of Krishna. And the fourth is Prema Vikshana, which is the loving glance of Krishna. And Brihad Ura.
Brihad the loving glance is not a sidelong glance. Right?
No, it's not a sidelong glance. It's just a straight glance.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brihad Ura. Ura is the chest. Brihad is big. So Brihad Ura is the fifth.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna Mataji, you mentioned that the five arrows coming from, the explanation is coming from some book. I forgot the name he mentioned.
It's from Vidagdha Madhava.
Okay, Vidagdha Madhava. Okay, wonderful. And one more thing, Mataji, one comment was about regarding Parijata flower. If you do a Google search on Parijata, it comes as a white flower, but which is very common in Kerala. And,
yes.
But you explained it as a different color, and that's why I was curious.
I explained it as a white petaled flower with a orange stem.
Okay, all right. Okay. Thank you. Great.
Thank you, Prabhu. But as I said, you know, many, you know, locally, colloquially, there are many, many flowers, you know, in different parts that go as Parijat, that go as Mandar, that go as Kund. You know, in fact, in Gujarat, there's one particular flower that goes as Vaijayanti. It's surprising, but Vaijayanti is not a flower. It is a combination of flowers. Vaijayanti is not one particular flower. But in Gujarat, I know Maharaj actually told this, Radharaman Maharaj said this, that in Gujarat, there is one particular flower that goes as Vaijayanti. It is known as Vaijayanti flower.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes. So it's not true. You know, that's, so Maharaj is very specific that what is Vaijayanti Mala? It is described in the, I think in, either in Govinda Bhasya or maybe one of these books, either Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava. One of these two books is explained that what is the constituents of Vaijayanti Mala that Maharaj quoted.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Ravinata. Mataji, I just want to say that all the most of the lectures that I hear, I feel love for Krishna, but
when I listen to you, I feel love for Radhanani, and which is so rare. And thank you so, so much for that. And thank you for all the information on the flowers. Because I mean, in my knowledge, I knew that those are for Shivji and Kali, but didn't know that we cannot offer it to Krishna. And thank you so, so much again. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. So today I learned so many things which I don't know. So your classes are very wonderful. Even if we read a 10th canto directly also, I may not understand this properly. So thank you so much for your class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm grateful for your association. Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes, Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'm back. Just a couple quick ones. Vaidyanti, do you know the translation of this word? Is it V A I?
Oh, the spelling of Vaidyanti. It's V A I J A Y A N T I.
Vaidyanti. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, and do we know the translation for it?
Translation.
Oh. Yeah, like the meaning of this word.
Oh, Vaijayanti? Actually, never thought about it. Never thought about that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And the kund flower is, the kund is spelled like the lake, right? Like
K-U-N-D, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not the D with a dot, it's just, it's the. It's kunda.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kunda. It's not the D with the dot. It's just D. So it's kund.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Parijata flower is available both in the heavenly planets, because it came from Indraloka, and the spiritual world, as you explained with that pastime. You know, if Radharani wants that flower, then it appears. But the kund and the mandar flowers, are they available also in the heavenly planets or just in the spiritual world?
Well, there's no mention of it ever being available in the heavenly planets.
Mm-hmm.
There's mention of Parijat that Krishna brought,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Indraloka. But Kund and Mandar have not been in mention at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Parijat, also there's a history, if you read the Krishna book, there's a history to that, about how it
yeah.
In Indraloka. So
how it landed in Indraloka.
Yes.
Oh,
you
can okay.
Read that. Everyone can read a little homework. So.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The word Vaijanti has a very intricate meaning. When we add Vai in front of a noun like Vaikuntha or Vairagya, that means, Vaikuntha means where there is no suffering. Kuntha means suffering, and Vai means which takes away the suffering. So Vaijayanti actually means in a very different way that which conquers all, which has no one who can, Jayanti means to win or conquer. Who can win the beauty of or the quality of that mala? That's the meaning of Vaijanti. It's a very intricate meaning. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can you repeat what he said? Because he didn't come through clearly.
What Prabhu was saying is that Vai, when the word Vai is added to a particular word, it means
negation.
Yes. So, like Vaikuntha, Prabhu gave the example that it's
mm-hmm.
like Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety, and Vai
mm-hmm.
means no. So, no anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So, similarly, Vaijayanti means there is no comparison to this particular kind of garland. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jayanti means there's nothing above and beyond this particular garland, and that's why it is, you know, one without a second kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Prabhu explained. I hope I got it right, Prabhu, but thank you so much for the explanation.
Yes, Mata, you put it in a better way, actually. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, is there any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very nice explanation. Mataji, you were saying five types of flowers. Kunda, Mandar, Parijat, Tulsi, and what is the fifth one?
Kamal, Lotus.
And if we put all them together, so that becomes Vaijayanti Mala?
Yes.
And Mataji, I wanted to share about the roses you were talking about. The roses we buy in the store, they are very big and they don't have any fragrance. But I have rose bush in the garden. That one doesn't look very nice and has only five petals, but has really good fragrance and it's... when I offer to Krishna, if we go near to altar, we can get the fragrance from them. That's how, yeah. But
That is the fragrance of your devotion. Thank you.
actually, Mataji, there are 10 roses which are very nice smelling in the United States. But the problem is you cannot grow them in the winter. We have in our temple few roses which are very nice, sweet smelling. One of them actually pervades the whole atmosphere around. And the problem is in the winter we get only those tea roses, the big ones, and they have no smell. So winter is a problem. But summer, we have a lot of good smelling roses in America. We live in zone 5. Yeah. So you can Google and you can get some.
Right.
Yeah, now it's spring and now they are coming. So we have a lot of roses now. Okay, anybody has any question or comment?
Pick it up, please, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Param Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Mataji, very nice class, and you gave very detailed description, and you said you remembered it and it's in your mind. So, you just described that like it's in front of us. And so I'm wondering your mind is filled with all of this kind of I don't know what to say, but pastime or Leela, So it's so amazing, Mataji, you can remember this good. Thank you, Mataji, for sharing.
Well, I beg for your blessings, for all of your blessings, so that I can remember it every moment of my life. I beg for all of
you. Haribol. Mataji, we need your blessing.
Yes, Mataji, we need your blessing.
And Mataji, one more thing. We heard Gopi Geet from your mouth, and now Radha Kripa Kataks, so wonderful, Mataji. The beauty is there, but when you sing, it's very nectarian, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Well, it's, as I said, it's the beauty of your listening. It's really got nothing to do with me, but it's the beauty of your listening. So thank you. Thank you for inspiring me all the time. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, now I will follow the instructions of Vrinda Gopika Mataji, and I'll sing two verses of the Gopi Gita, and we will end.
Braj jana arti han vira yoshita darshanam trinacharanugam shriniketanam paniparartitam tetadambujam krinukucheshuna Madhuraya Gira Vaiku Vakyaya Budhamanagnaya Pushkarikshana
Shri Gopi Gita ki jai.
Shri Gopi Gita ki jai. Shri Kala Sudha Mataji ki jai ho. Gopinath ki jai.
Ananta Koti.
Pranam Mataji.
Thank you very, very much, Mataji. We don't want this class to end, but so let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gopi Gita Ki Jai. Har Kesava Sudha Mataji Ki Jai.
Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava.